Dwayne has been the director of, at DVR, I think, for the past 2 or 3 years. I can't remember. I think it's 3. And we are lucky to have him present to us, and we will just ask him to take it away.
Thank you, Bonnie. You're right. It's going to be exactly 3 years come January 1 of 2022. So 2 to 3 years with the division as the director, but I've actually been with the division on and off for a total of about 20 years. I worked as a counselor, rehabilitation counselor, serving deaf, hard of hearing, deaf blind, and late deafened for about 9 years. And then I moved into management, left for health and social services, but did come back about 3 years ago. And I'm very, very happy to be back with the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation. And as always, Bonnie, I appreciate the fact that you invite me to be a part of this so that I can speak to all of you. I probably would start with the efforts that we have made as a state to form the Alaska Work Matters Task Force. It's a time-limited task force for 1 year, and we've actually had 3 meetings today. Our final meeting will be in December. The task force consists of 24 members that have been selected within state government from key organizations that either directly or indirectly have something to do with competitive and integrated employment for Alaskans with disabilities. So we have representation from education, and these are people with authority that can make decisions around policy changes and so forth. So we have a representative from education. We have health and social services, several people from health and social services on the board. We have the, of course, the Department of Labor with the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation and the Division of Employment and Training, our job centers throughout the state. They are part of that. The Department of Corrections for those individuals that are coming out of, have been incarcerated for years and coming out of jail, and Department of Transportation. You know, obviously transportation plays a key role for assisting Alaskans with disabilities getting from point A to point B. So we have representation from many of the beneficiary boards and state government, the Commission on Aging, the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education, the Mental Health Board, the Alaska Board of Alcohol and Drug Abuse. And we also have Michael Christian, who is the executive director for the State Independent Living Council. And he actually not only is on the board, but we have a standing committee that meets probably, if not every week, every other week. And we have directors from the beneficiary boards, to include Michael from the State Independent Living Council. So we're working on addressing all things specific to competitive and integrated employment. And at this point in time, after 3 long meetings, with our final meeting being December, we think we have a shell of what those recommendations will look like. We will bring it forward to the governor and to the relevant commissioners from education, health and social services, and labor, with the intent of trying to improve our efforts around competitive and integrated employment for people with disabilities. So I share that with you because that's a heavy lift for us. So I chair that task force, and we were successful in getting the governor to get behind it. He provided his official support. So when I reached out to other departments, I would flash the letter from the governor to make sure they understand that you can't continue to operate in a silo. You need to be a part of the solution. So the task force is a heavy lift for us. The intent is to have a final report with recommendations that we bring to the relevant commissioners and the governor by March of 2022. So that's really important. We've been living, so shifting to our division, you know, with the COVID-19 having to make a significant shift to create a virtual online platform. But over the last year and a half, we've been fine-tuning that process in terms of our online application. We have a variety of tools now that we can use, counselor with the consumer or our evaluation staff, workshops online, assessment tools online. So we continue to do that, but be assured that we continue to work on modifying that, because we believe going forward we'll have the in-person path in terms of service delivery. Our field offices are open, but then we will have the virtual platform that we really have worked on and fine-tuned in the last year and a half. Those two platforms will always be here. I believe firmly that the use of technology, especially Alaska, because we have such a large rural area, is here to stay. So this online platform that we created is never going to go away. So we'll work hard to make sure that it is fine-tuned to the needs of people with disabilities. You know, our protocols are in place because of COVID-19, you know, plexiglass within all of our field offices, social distancing and markers to remind people that we need to do that. We encourage the use of a mask. The governor made a decision not to mandate that. Of course, you have local municipalities that might do that, but in government, it's not mandated. It's encouraged. But what I do is, as a division director, I wear a mask. In everything that I do, I wear a mask. I maintain my distance. So, you know, I'm going to be proactive and I'm going to be a part of the solution to be able to beat this virus. So, air purifiers, we've did extensive research on air purifiers, and we have them in all of our offices, high-end purifiers that have demonstrated success to kill the virus. So we have that in our offices. And then, of course, depending on who we're serving, if they choose to be served in the office and they're deaf or hard of hearing, we have clear masks that have been purchased so that the individual can read lips or see our facial expressions. So quite frankly, I believe going forward that much of what we have accomplished and done will remain. You know, it's just a healthy way of making sure that we live well, we prevent illnesses and so forth by doing the right thing. So much of that has been implemented. The hybrid model for the state of Alaska, we have that in place. I'm on it. You know, I spend some time in the office, either in Anchorage or Juneau, some time in my home. Megan, our state coordinator for the blind, does that as well, either at home or in the office. But we really are the hybrid model, from our perspective, will never go away. And it's here to stay. And it's a incentive, not just in the state sector, but in the private sector. We'll tell you, Megan and I have had conversations, and I will tell you, we get a lot of work done working from home. You can roll out of bed, throw a cap on, and get started at 7 a.m. You don't have to hop in your car and get to the office. So there's a lot of perks with the hybrid model. So our division has been modeling the way for other divisions in government. And if you think about who we are and, you know, serving our vulnerable populations, there's no question that we need to lead the way to be able to set the example. So just on a final note, because I know that I have to 3:10, I think I know that we have done really well to further our connection with the Center for Blind Adults. I've been looking at the data and talking with Megan and talking with Cindy Fox, Murphy Fox, and we've actually increased our numbers. And that's amazing when you think about it. The percentage of people that we're serving that are blind and visually impaired statewide, we've increased those numbers. How did we do that? Through social media, a campaign, Megan doing a lot of calls to school districts, rural school districts, and so forth, being very proactive. And as a result of that effort, our numbers have gone up. So I'm very happy with that. Megan has been the state coordinator for the blind now for 1 year, and I can't tell you how the enthusiasm and the motivation that she brings to that position and the depth of knowledge is really, it's very important that we have somebody in that position that understands this world. So the business enterprise program, as you might imagine, they've been hit hard with the pandemic. Many of the sites either have been closed or the foot traffic has diminished. So we've been helping those vendors to offset that. We did get a capital request, only capital request in the country, to be able to get that and get it approved to update and modernize our state facilities, the state sites that we have in Alaska. So we want to make sure that the BEP is growing the next generation of vendors, because, you know, we're an aging state. I'm an aging director. It's a baby boomer state. And so we need to prepare the next generation of vendors, and doing that by working with our staff within the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation. So I'm, you know, it's been a rough year, but I'm very proud of the work that we have done. Proud of our staff. So with that, I think, you know, I'm looking at my clock, Bonnie, and it says 3:10. So I will stop there.
Megan has been a DVR counselor in Alaska for quite a number of years. And I think most people know her. Not everyone in the state has had her for their counselor, but many people have. And she has gone out of her way to educate and support other counselors who have blind and low vision clients. So thank you, Megan, for all you do, and we'd love to hear from you.
Thank you, Bonnie, and thank you, Director Mays. That was very nice. Yeah, so my name is Megan Sheely. I am, as Director Mays said, I have been the blind services coordinator for 1 year, and that's been really rewarding, even in this difficult year. And then I've been the blind services counselor for the Anchorage area as of this month for 17 years, and I don't know where those years went. I am located here in Anchorage downtown. I was going to say, for those of you who can't see me today, I was going to sort of describe myself because I love when people do that on my Zoom meetings. So I am a fair-skinned, in my 40s female with blonde hair. I have chin-length hair that's tucked behind my ears, and I'm wearing a headset to talk to you guys today. And then I have a fuzzy gray hoodie on. So that's what I look like if you're not able to see me today. And my guide dog, Derby, is close by. You might be able to see him run by every now and again. So, you know, I've been coming to these for a long, long time. Many years ago when I first started this position, there was an organization in town called the AIB. And they sort of have phased out as far as I know. And there was no NFB present in the state of Alaska. And I don't know, I want to say like 15 years ago, maybe, there was a gentleman in our community named Steve Priddle. And he was really dedicated to bringing the NFB back to Alaska. And so I still remember that first meeting that he hosted. We had it at the Westmark Hotel downtown. And it was just in this little tiny room, fully made up table. We were going to eat and just chat. And I remember this big table and it was just me, my sister who I dragged along with me, Steve Priddle and his assistant. And that was all who attended that first year. And so it's so, so nice to see that this organization has been able to grow and grow and grow and stay here and active in Alaska. So thank you, Bonnie, for all the hard work that you do. I'm going to talk a little bit. I talked a lot a bit last time, but I'm just going to talk a little bit, and then I'm hoping I might have some interaction with some of you who might be brave enough to share some information with us when I get to that point. At first, I'm going to talk a little bit more about DVR and how blind services looks. In this state of Alaska, we are a combined agency, which simply means that we, under DVR, we serve both the general population and we also serve the blind population. In other states, about half of them, they do have a commission for the blind and they're completely separate agencies from DVR. But in this state, we recognize we're a combined agency and we recognize the importance that providing excellent blind rehabilitation, we have to do it. It's very important as a combined agency. We have at every level in DVR, we have people who are extremely invested in making sure we have quality service to all of our blind and visually impaired consumers. You know, out of all those NFB conventions I've been to in Alaska, not all are lucky enough to have a director of DVR come and speak. And so, you know, Dwayne being the director for 3 years and coming to this NFB, it really is a sign that he is extremely invested in making sure we provide quality service. Underneath the director level, we also have the deputy chief, Cindy Murphy Fox, and she oversees the blind service counseling for the state of Alaska, And she also oversees the Business Enterprise Program. So she has been involved in blind services for the state for a long, long time. And then underneath her, we have me, the blind services coordinator. And my job is that I support the blind service counselor team. And we have counselors, specialized counselors in all the regions of our state. And so I wanted them all to be here today so they could give I could give them a shout out and they could come and introduce themselves. But unfortunately, their schedules wouldn't allow. So I'm just going to mention their names. In the Mat-Su area right now, we have Diane Foster, and she is our specialized blind services counselor. In Fairbanks, we have Lizzie Eddy, who's been doing this work for a long time, and she really knows blind services, and I'm really happy to be working with her. And we now have a newer counselor, Sharon Moore in Juneau, and she is really working hard to participate in additional blind rehabilitation training. And she comes to most blind service events, and she might even be here now. I'm not sure. She was here a little bit earlier. Those are the blind service counselors. And my job as a coordinator is to support them and coach them and make sure they feel comfortable, confident, and are ready to serve any consumer who has a visual impairment. And then they also have an additional job as the specialty counselor in their offices. They help support and coach other rural counselors in their office who might also have a blind or visually impaired person on their caseload. And so that's how blind services works, what the structure looks like. I did want to give a shout out to my manager. Although Cindy Murphy Fox oversees blind services and she sees my blind service work, manager Kate Duder, she is extremely invested in this as well. Some of the things that she makes sure of is that our office area is, the environment is safe for travel for any consumer coming in with a visual impairment. And she also makes sure that there is accessibility there on every level of the process. So if someone needs magnifiers, a CCTV, if somebody needs something read to them or sighted guide, manager Duder always is there to make sure that we are able to provide appropriate accommodation in the office. And so with that, that's how much business I want to talk about today. For the last few minutes that I have, I wanted to talk about sense of humor. Sense of humor and how it goes with being an individual with a visual impairment. I'm going to use myself as an example because I'm the only one here right now. So I was born sighted, and I didn't start losing my vision until my early 20s, right around the time I was finishing my bachelor's degree. And so at first I would consider myself a low vision person. And I tell myself now that I'm a recovering perfectionist because once upon a time ago, I was a perfectionist and I liked doing everything just perfectly so. And when you start to lose your vision, you are no longer able to be perfect. In fact, at the things that you seemingly were so easy as a sighted person, you are not able to do perfect anymore. Things like knowing where a door handle is and reaching for something that is not there or something of that nature. There's definitely an adjustment to letting go of perfectionism and allowing yourself to make mistakes. There is a great webinar on the online Hadley School for the Blind. It's an archived webinar and it's on perfection and how to let go of perfection. Because if you let go of trying to be perfect, part of it, you can get your sense of humor and be able to laugh at you, which is so, so important. But you're really able to make mistakes with grace and ease. And so I was going, you know, if we were all in the same room, I was going to, you know, have people shout out, yes, that's me, or raise your hand. But when I say some of these next things, just think in your head, you know, oh my gosh, that's me. I've made these mistakes. So some of the mistakes that I've made in my life, I have started talking to somebody and it's the wrong person. I'm talking to the wrong person. How many of you have ever done that? How about you're talking to somebody and you realize they've walked away and you're talking and you don't even know you're talking to yourself? How many people have done that? It's especially fun when you're in public and you can just imagine what you look like when you're talking to yourself. How many people have shown up to work with stains on their shirt or wrinkles on their shirt that they haven't known about and you've had someone kind of point that out? I know that I have. Let's see, how many people have gone somewhere and had two different color shoes on? I've done that. I've done that. It's very hard. You know, how embarrassing is that to have two separate colored shoes on? There was a point in my life, especially when I was low vision, before I was legally blind, I used to knock down cups all the time. And it was such a trigger. Just every time I would knock down like a full cup of water, I couldn't believe I was knocking all these cups down. Now through the years, now that I consider myself blind, I don't knock cups down at all. And I find that so fascinating. But I used to get really upset and now I can just look back and laugh. Or if I do it now, I try to have a sense of humor that I'm not going to be perfect. How many people have as someone is picking them up from a location, how many people have almost accidentally got in the wrong car? I know I have. I know my bestie Sue Ellen has. Thank God, goodness we know each other and we can talk about these things. I'm sort of tattling on Kevin Whitley here. This will be my last example, but we both use guide dogs for mobility and we both went to the same school and we both sort of talked as we adjusted to the use of this guide dog. One day he shared a story with me that I will never forget. It's one of the funniest stories. He told his dog to go straight to the bus stop. And what he meant was down the path and around the sidewalk. And his dog went straight to the bus stop. He was a very good listener, but it was down a side. It was through the grass and down a sidewall, and poor Kevin fell. And luckily, he has such a good sense of humor that he was able to laugh while sharing that story with me. And I just love that story so much. But this is where sense of humor comes in. And so I have a few minutes. Time goes so fast. But does anybody else have a story that they'd be willing to share about a mistake they made that they can maybe didn't laugh at back then, but might laugh at now?
We got a few here. Let's see. I guess Dwayne has a story.
Yes, I do. And it's not about me, but it to this day, every time I even think of it, I just break out in laughter. So when I was over at Senior and Disability Services, I was there as their director. I had three chiefs, and we were all located in one section. And one of the chiefs came up to me and said, and I won't mention who it is, there was another chief that put their pants on backwards. And so they were trying to determine who was going to tell her that her pants was on backwards, and she cited, of course. So I said, I'll do it, which they were all shocked. And I went in there, and I'll refer to it as Jane. I said, Jane, just so you know, when you got up this morning, you put your pants on backwards. It was one of those spandex type of pants. And she was just so embarrassed. So to this day, when I think about that, I just laugh.
My two would be my first date with my wife, son's mother, mismatched socks. I thought, well, this is not going to go anywhere. But the other, I was taking my son to kindergarten, and I guess I That's what I thought were some very comfortable pants, but apparently they were my wife's chick jeans. So.
Well, after Dwayne's story, I have to say that, you know, we sometimes think we are the only one that do these things. I mean, it doesn't surprise me at all if a sighted person went to work with two different shoes on. I mean, I have heard plenty of stories of people going to work with their shirt inside out, that kind of thing. I don't think we even need to think twice that this is something that is definitely only the blind people do these kinds of things. Because I think sighted people do some very similar things. And I think it's totally okay.
This is Bonnie, Megan, this is Charlie Rogge. And I was just recalling an instance. Well, there's could think of a bajillion here, but one particular was the home we were living at the time had a swimming pool, and as I was getting ready to have folks drive me off to school, I was out in the backyard and I heard Mom calling, so of course I make a beeline to go right to where her voice was, not thinking about, oh, swimming pool. So of course fully dressed, just splash. So I was pretty. I could certainly laugh, but boy, at the time I was just so mortified. Yeah, totally blind.
You mentioned wet, Charlie.
So thanks so much, gosh, Megan and Dwayne and everyone. Anyway, I'll have to get ready to catch a bus for home.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you so much.
Speaking of being mortified, to this day, as probably as recently as this summer, I have low vision and I will inevitably try to get into a wrong car at the mall, at the shopping center, a grocery store. And at the time you're tugging on the door, my daughter and I are together and I said, we'll meet at the car. And I go to the wrong white car and I'm trying to pry the door open and I look in and I realize I'm at the wrong car. So then my next thought is, please don't shoot me. I have low vision and I'm not really trying to break into your car. At the time, it's very frightening, but then later on I can laugh, but it's really scary.
Yeah.
And I've yelled at a driver that I thought was here at my building to pick me up. And I went around to get in behind the driver and I'm yanking on the door and I said, you've got to unlock the door to let me in. This kind gentleman rolls down the window and says, ma'am, I think you have the wrong car.
Well, yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, I'm going to tell one on myself, and I wish I could say I only did it once, but I did it twice, and it's been recent, and I'm trying to decide how much is old age and how much is just, not thinking. I have ways to do much of the kitchen tasks I perform, and I do a lot of kitchen things. So we got these, what are they called? Ravioli. And twice I, in trying to empty the pan and into the strainer, I dumped them down the drain. The first time I had to let them go. The second time I had just barely run the garbage disposal with really hot water. And I'm going to have to say, and you guys are going to be grossed out, but we pulled them out and rinsed them really well and ate them. So that's my horrifying. Since then, Aubrey has said, Mom, you're not doing this. I'm doing it. And I have accepted that. But I did drain something the other day and did it okay. All right. Anybody else? Real quick, and then we'll move on to Nate.
Hey, Rick Webb has a hand raised.
Go ahead, Rick. He's having trouble unmuting. He unmuted before, so we know he can do it. Is that you, Rick?
Am I unmuted now?
You're unmuted. Go.
Oh, okay. So as a partially sighted person, I learned I go by colors because I can't see, anybody's face, so I don't know what anybody looks like. And anybody that knows Juanita will understand this.
Something happened to you, Rick.
He went muted again somehow. But
I'll share one more while he's there. My kids love this one. I was going to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches one day, and Smucker's also makes ice cream topping. And so I just looked at the jar and it was Smucker's, and I made them an ice cream topping and peanut butter sandwich, and they loved that story.
And they probably loved the topping too, huh?
I don't know. But they thought I was being a little bit out there that day.
Oh, yeah. I think we've all done some things like that. Like I opened, I wanted two cans of carrots and got carrots and spinach one day, and I was going to mix them, and my little kids were horrified, so I served them in two different bowls.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just wanted to, you know, end it by saying, you know, embrace our mistakes. Mistakes are okay. And we got to learn to laugh at all these things that might horrify us at first, but we just got to laugh at it. So thank you, Bonnie, for inviting me again.
You're welcome. Did Rick come back?
Thank you, Megan.
Am I unmuted now?
You are unmuted. Stay away from those buttons.
Okay. What? No, it keeps coming on telling me that I'm muted each time I unmute. So I was just going to say I use colors, and Juanita always would wear hoodies, and we're in, I think it was Sam's Club back then. But anyway, I was looking at something, and evidently she'd taken her hoodie off unbeknownst to me. So she had a different colored top on, and I walked right on by her, and I start following this person that had the same colors on that she had. And the person stops and starts to look at something, and I walked up next to the person, and I was putting out my hand. I was going to put my hand on the small of the back and ask what she was looking at, and as my hand got a couple inches, all of a sudden from behind me, this voice snapped, "Babe," and I just froze, and I turned and looked back, and she said, "I'm back here." And about that time, I turn and look, and here the gal's looking at me, and then she looks down at my arm as my hand's about to touch her. I jerked my hand, I turned around and ran. So I learned that I speak to somebody, make sure it's them before I touch them, because that was a lesson learned. I was mortified.
Oh, goodness.
All right, so Arden, thank you so much, everyone, all of you, for sharing.